The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Mouyeh, and you're here for a really action-packed night tonight. We're going to go live, Sports Writer Log Live tonight with Franz Beard, and he's a very interesting individual because he has been writing sports since he was 13 years old. And he, of course, has graduated writing college sports, and he moved back home to Gainesville, Florida, the home of the Gators, in 1967, and played varsity basketball at Gainesville High with Eddie McShane, who was the quarterback who broke the color barrier at Georgia Tech. And Eddie was a two-time All-American in football and basketball at this Gainesville High School, and he turned down a scholarship to go to UCLA basketball to play football. And, of course, Franz went on to write sports for several newspapers, Gainesville Sun, Jacksonville Journal, Wilmington Star News, Savannah News Press, Florida Today, Miami News, and Richmond News Leader, and others. Now, here's an interesting thing. He diversified himself out in sports and started coaching the Gainesville, Florida AAU girls basketball team to a fourth-place finish at the AAU Nationals in Kansas City in 1981. Outstanding. And then won two AAU state championships and had a 125-26 coaching record, which is phenomenal to move from sports writing into coaching. So this guy knows a lot about sports. He also taught high school English in Taiwan, edited several books, and was the editor of a school's English language newspaper, and was professor of English at Hanan University in Korea. Now, of course, he has done a lot of diversified things, including owning several businesses. But tonight we're going to talk about sports. And thing to understand is he's been the managing editor of Gator Country since 2000 to 2010. He's been a senior writer for Gator Bait from 2012. And he's covered Super Bowls, NCAA football championships, Final Fours, heavyweight championship fights, and a lot of college football, basketball, and baseball games, to count a few. So at this time, I'd like to welcome our special guest, sports writer Franz Beard, to the show. Welcome to the show, Franz.
Good afternoon, evening to you, Ida, and I hope everybody out there, I wish you a good evening as well, and hope everything is going well for everybody.
Well, great, great, great. Well, you have a fan club already because we're already getting an email asking me, of course, what are your feelings about 33 Gators being in the Olympics this year? Will they strike gold?
Well, obviously, there's one guy that's probably going to do it, and that's Ryan Lochte, the great swimmer. He's in line to win, I think, as many as five, counting the relays. He could do it. A couple other guys that I really, really like, that could come in with medals, Greyhorn in the decathlon. Let's face it, Mike Holloway has a good thing going with University of Florida Track, the Florida Track program. I think right now is the pinnacle of what's going on at NCAA Track. He's got several Gators are in there. Tony McQuay's in there running the 400 meters. He's got a chance to medal as well. So,
okay, very good. Well, folks, as you can see, the Gators are going to be alive and well in the Olympic Games, and we're excited about that. Looking at them in track and field, as well as seeing them in swimming, and so. Right now, the Gators are like the hottest thing going into this game with 33. So we're very excited about that. And, of course, when we bring Frostbeard back on, we're going to talk a little bit about soccer and also talk about the fact that women have now moved to the center of the Olympics in boxing. So no longer are we waiting for that Cuba and United States bout now. We're now waiting to see what women are going to do for the first time in boxing in the Olympics. And I want you to just send your emails to us and tell us what you think about women boxing in the Olympics this year. Now, as you've been watching, you know, the British Open right now, we're seeing a lot of things happening with Tiger Woods. He is right now, I think he's first right now, and I think Zach Johnson is behind him right now. But what we've got going on there is you've got people in support of Tiger that's walking around in Tiger suits. So they're taking Tiger to the mat here and really giving him a real tender feel of love out there at the British Open. So hopefully Tiger is finding a little bit of love out there. We have some mishaps today on the Today Show. NBC actually was interviewing Michael Vick. Michael Vick. And Michael Vick was there to promote his new book, which is basically free after, of course, his years in prison and breaking free of that. And what happened was Today's Show basically played the wrong quarterback footage. Played the wrong quarterback footage. Are we back on, son?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I was just talking about the fact, and I'll go back to that. I don't know if you knew, but today NBC ran the wrong footage for Michael Vick today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in fact, he was there to promote his book and saying, I'm finally free from all these court cases. I paid all my debts. I feel like I finally can get some respect. They turned on his footage, and it's Jared Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
or somebody who loved dogs decided that they were going to take him to the dogs with the NBC footage, but that got him into really some hot water. So it didn't help Matt Lauer at all with his credibility, since he basically has been in the hot box since he's got rid of his former host. So I'm sure that didn't sit too well with Matt Lauer today.
You know something, Ida? What a great story Michael Vick is. And Michael Vick is, I think, is the perfect example of how somebody can do his own soul searching and change his life around completely and come back. I think Michael Vick is just one of the great, his comeback, I think, is one of the great sports stories of the last 3 or 4 years.
I think you're absolutely right. And when is he going to get respect? You know, because I will tell you that I had on my show here the Humane Society, who had actually put together the whole package for Michael Vick before he came out of prison in order for him to basically do his community service. And they were so impressed by his dedication of what he was doing. And after a couple of weeks, they came back and they reported to me that this thing was just working so well. Not only was he educating people, he was literally shutting down the sport. So you're absolutely right. You know, he is probably one of the greatest stories of a comeback, you know, into sports in that regard. But, you know, we got another comeback kid over at the Steelers, okay? All right? Max Stark signed for a one-year contract. And he is to lead this new offensive line and to basically that new playbook that they have and new offensive coordinator. So he signed today. What do you think about that? You know a little bit about Max Starr coming from Florida.
Oh, I know Max quite well. And I will tell you one thing. This is a guy that I give Max just tremendous credit in how he went from a guy that was just a big guy into a guy that had, with talent, into a guy that became just a giant and harnessed his talent. And of course the big thing he's always had going for him is people point to his size and say, look at all that size. But you know what, Ida? What has always separated Max from other, offensive tackles is he's a very cerebral young man, really understands the entire game. And I think, having Max Starks at left tackle and having Marquise Pouncey in the middle of the line at center gives the Pittsburgh Steelers two guys who truly understand the entire game. They understand more than just their position. They understand the entire game and understand what every single player has to do on every play to make it successful. Max was a guy that when he came to the University of Florida had the playbook down in a matter of a week. Marquise Pouncey, along with the twin brother Mike, were the same way when they came in here and not only knew their position, but knew every position and knew every single play. When the Steelers came to here, for example, to draft Marquise, they made a comment that they had another Max Starks on their hands, a guy that already knew the playbook when they came in here to interview him.
All right. What a great compliment. What a great compliment. No question about that. It's nice, but we, you know, having a gator out in the hinterlands like that and then being able to attract another gator because you yourself have led the way, that's pretty outstanding for a teammate. That's outstanding. And we thought we would actually take our hat off to Max and also Marquise Pouncey and that leading that charge in that. And we were talking about the Olympics and a lot of great things going on with the Olympics. It was the first time that women boxers are going to take the center stage in Olympics. And, I got to say that, Ali's daughter, Lyle, she actually led the way in that fight. But the interesting thing is that they have taken so much center stage now, that they're looking at, you know, we used to wait for Cuba and the United States to fight on the men's. Now they're seeing that the women's tickets are getting sold out. That they're already sold out. So this is a pretty outstanding step to see the women take on boxing. What do you think about that? Do you think that, I've got a couple of people saying they don't want women boxing, but, you know, it is what it is. What do you think about women boxing in Olympics?
Well, you know, I think that any sport that they want to put out there and that is supported and has the participation worldwide, I think that's a great sport to add. I'm a little bit disappointed, however, that this Olympics will not have baseball in it. I think baseball and softball prove themselves to be great sports, and let's face it, they have become global sports. When you look at, for example, softball, China is a power in softball, for example. And it's a growing sport, for example, in the Netherlands. Baseball in Europe is picking up things like that. And I'm all for the addition of new sports into the Olympics, like golf, for example. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed that there's no golf in the Olympics, particularly with, you know, the United Kingdom up in Scotland is where golf was invented, and here we are bringing the Olympics to the United Kingdom, and there's no golf in there. And that's a little bit surprising, too, particularly when you consider that so many of the top golfers in the world are not Americans. You look at how the Europeans have done so well on the PGA Tour, and on the LPGA Tour, my goodness, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Thai golfers, even Mexican golfers, et cetera, Swedish golfers.
So definitely there was a group of people who could have played and filled those spots. We're going to take about a three-minute break. We're going to come back. We're talking to Franz Beard. He is a renowned sports writer, and we're talking live with sports. It's a great sports writer. We'll be back in three.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We are talking on Sports Writer Log Live tonight. We have Franz Sears that's in our studio tonight, and he is talking to us straight from Gainesville, the home of the Florida Gators. And, of course, he is a renowned sports writer. He has been writing sports since he was 13 years old. So he knows a little bit about sports. So we're just live, and we're just chit-chatting and talk about all the things happening in sports. And at the close of our before our break here, we would talk about women boxers coming into the Olympics and taking center stage. And then between the break, we just got an email, and someone wants me to bring Franz back in and ask him about Hope Solo testing positive for soccer. Would you come back in, Franz, and tell a little bit about what you think about that? They think it was a spank on the hand for her to have tested positive and to allow her still to play in the Olympics.
Well, I'm, you know, I don't know what the Olympic drug policies are, because let's face it, they change every 4 years. I do believe this. I think if the Olympics and sports in general, if they want to really send a message and clean up their sports, then they have to do something like, I think baseball has done a very, very good job of suddenly cleaning itself up. But, and how did they do it? With very harsh penalties. And I think that, you know, it's a privilege to play. It's a privilege to get paid to play. And anybody who says that, well, the drugs aren't harming me or whatever like that, or it's a victimless crime. I hear all that stuff. And my belief is this, if these are the rules, you play within the rules. There are very, very few jobs out there, for example, that offer you the kind of money that you can make in the NBA or the NFL or hockey or Major League Baseball. And if the rule says that to make this kind of money, you don't do drugs, well, to me, that tells me you don't do drugs. And the guys that do break the rules, I think they should be punished severely for that. Now, I know there's not a lot of people that may agree with that, but I just think that if you're going to clean it up, if you're going to make the sports clean and fair, then that's the way to do it. So as far as Hope Solo playing when she tested positive, I don't think she should have.
Well, there you have it, folks. You heard that right here from a sports writer. Now, you know, you talked about baseball cleaning their act up, and I just want to kind of stand on that a little bit. Barry Bonds still has not had his trial, but we know that we have seen an acquittal in baseball because at the time, if those drugs were being used, there was no ban on them. And so it wasn't illegal, but they were getting them on perjury charges. What do you think what's going to happen with Barry Bonds?
Well, I have real problems I think that, you know, baseball should have been the one that when baseball should have cleaned up its own act. And fortunately, they have done that. I'm not a big fan of Bud Light Selig. I think he's probably done about as bad a job of being commissioner as we could have asked. But I do give him credit in one regard, and that is he has taken a stronger lead as far as dealing out harsh penalties for people who use performance-enhancing drugs. Now, here's a question, though, that I'll give you, Ida, and I've had it posed to me before. And this is not, these are not drugs that these guys are using, for example, like Barry Bonds used, et cetera, like that. These are not drugs as, for example, like heroin or cocaine or whatever like this. And they're drugs that are designed to make somebody play better and perform better. And I've had people who've thrown at me and said, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, you know, it's like lifting weights. Guys, years ago, before we knew about performance-enhancing drugs, we had guys who suddenly got on weights for the first time, and that enhanced their performance. And other people weren't using drugs, and the guys who used weights had an unfair advantage, is the argument I've heard. And I've heard that these same people have said, is this not the same as those guys who first used drugs because first used weights because all they're trying to do is enhance their performance? And I think that's a legitimate question to ponder.
Well, I was going to get on that dialogue right now because we have had people on who have used steroids, and there are life-threatening consequences for using that.
Yes.
And they have been as young as high school. And there was one gentleman, we did a special show on that, and there was a young man who called in that said that he didn't want to disappoint his parents and that his coach was asking him to use steroids, and he was playing a pitcher in baseball in high school. So
well,
I think, you know, what we're talking about here is that, is it life-threatening? Is it going to be debilitatory? Now, one of the things, one of the side effects of it is that they become sterile as a result of it. That's one thing about it. The other thing is that it also causes rage.
Oh, yeah.
That it's rage because, you know, you think about a lot of the people who have used it, how the gentleman who was the wrestler who used it and he ended up killing his wife and killing himself, went into a rage and killed everybody. So it has that rage, they call it a rage rod that you get from it. And then the other aspect of it is that it also is very debilitating in terms of your actual growth of various different organs. So if you're a teenager using it or in high school using it, there's certain organs in your body as you grow will not grow and they'll be deficient. So I think there's a lot of reasons not to have steroids, but then it's such a vast area called steroids because a lot of these steroids could be, you know, in powder, it can be in tablets, it can be in liquid. And in fact, I want to tell you this, a friend of mine was unpacking a contractor from Afghanistan. He'd been over in Afghanistan for about, well, I think he said he was there for about 2 years as a contractor, and he came back. And do you know that they said that they were giving them liquid steroids over there? That was tantamount, what they were receiving was liquid steroids. So, you know, again, I think this question of steroids is so vast that nobody knows what it is, how it's used, how it's being, you know, how it debilitates, but that this was being issued. The person said they took it to a lab and it is steroids. So we don't know how this stuff is out there because I think some people will say it's okay. It is going to keep you strong. It's going to keep you able to fight and be endurance and you're going to stay up at night and you're going to be able to be alert and all of that. And on the other hand, when they leave all that, that's when you start to see the effects of it. So I think steroids are really bad for that reason. But I guess doctors give it to people for medical reasons, too.
Well, here's where I think the problem is with it, and this is one of the points that one of the people I was talking to made. He said, now, if you go to doctor-administered steroids, he says that, that doctors give steroids out, for example, to people to help them heal.
Mm-hmm.
He says if it's under a doctor's supervision, it can be used in a right way to rebuild injuries and things like that, and to help help somebody, you know, gain strength and muscle. Where the problem is that you've got this being done illegally, and people are injecting, and they don't know how much to inject. And, you know, guys say, well, if I inject this much and it gets me 20 pounds extra muscle, if I do this much, it'll get me 40 pounds of muscle. And I think that that's where the real problem is in it. And now you have people doing these knockoff and designer drugs, and guys out there basically being chemists and trying to make their own kind of drugs that can't be detected and things like this. I'm not in agreement necessarily with these people who say that we should make them legal because they're helping the guys play better, etc. like that. But it's an argument that's out there, and there's a lot of people on both sides of that issue.
Oh, I had a sport. I actually had a radio jock. I call him a radio jock, who literally said the same thing. And he goes into 25 million households. And I wrote him a letter and said, what are you trying to do, sign a death warrant of these young athletes by saying that's necessary? So, I mean, I would love to have a discussion about that, because that is clearly something that we can revisit and hear the pros and cons on that, because I'm sure there's parents out there who will not agree with that. But at the same time, you've got people out there who are coaching these kids, and they're looking at a win at all costs, but they're not looking at the long-term effect of these things. So I know even if a doctor administers it, it still has side effects. So I guess the question becomes is, what's a legal steroid and what's an illegal steroid? I think that's really what we come down to. But let's talk about more pleasant things, okay?
All
let's
right.
Let's talk about tennis. Hey, how about those Williams sisters, Red Hot Serena?
But you know something, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I made a point in a blog I wrote a few days ago. I said, you know, a lot of people, we've heard them say that Venus and Serena are criers or whiners or whatever like that, and they throw temper tantrums. You know what I love about them? I love that they do those things. I love the fact that the Williams sisters wear their emotions on their sleeves. I'm so tired, after all these years, I'm so tired of the politically correct athlete who all he can do is give me the answer that I know. I already know the answer before I ask the question, and he gives it to me. What I like is I like that guy or that athlete or that woman. Like, for example, Serena Williams. She's going to tell you what's on her mind. If her heel was hurting, she's going to say, I didn't get to that ball because my heel was hurting and I was playing with it the whole night. Or if she lost, she'll blame everything but herself. I love that. I think these are fantastic things about them. I like athletes who are human, and there is nothing about the Williams sisters that I don't like about the fact that they are totally human in their approach. If they're happy, they'll let you know. If they're not happy, they'll let you know. But you're not going to get politically correct from either one of them.
Oh, no, you definitely. Because number one is, that's not the way they were taught. They were taught to be, I consider, as being winners. They understand the concept of a champion. And they understand that, you know, now you see me, now you don't. But when you see me, you watch out, because I'm going to be ready when I come. And what I love about Serena is that Serena could very well go down in history as being one of the best players that ever played this game, because she's got five Wimbledons like her sister. But what is beautiful about her is that she's still young. She's still got another 5 years to play tennis, you know, which is outstanding. So if she gets herself healthy, and, I mean, they said right now she's on fire right now. So I think that she's got a lot more to give tennis, and I'm excited. And then it just gives you enough to let you know she's still good. her. She's still good. But it's nothing for you to feel bad about when you got five Wimbledon. There's nothing to feel bad about that, you know? That's pretty outstanding. But Federer, what about that last match of Federer? Woo! Federer, he's a monster. Federer's a monster. I call him the monster. I say he's on the same status as Pele was in soccer, Ali in boxing, and Federer's now in tennis. He is truly the king.
Well, you know, one thing I've always thought is, I know it's impossible to do it, but wouldn't you just love to, if they could, for example, bring back and have just a four person round robin tournament between, you'd have McEnroe, you'd have Bjorn Borg, you'd have Pete Sampras, and you'd have Federer. And maybe if you wanted to expand it to eight, then you'd throw in a guy like Alex Agassi and a couple others like that as well. And just let these people from different eras, because it's so difficult to tell. You know, Federer is obviously the best of this era, but we were saying the same thing about Sampras, that he was the best of his era. And it's so difficult to tell because of the way the equipment changes and things like that. Which one is truly the best of all time? Certainly in terms of titles, Federer is the guy that's won more titles of all time, but I look back when Borg played, for example, and Borg had McEnroe to go against, and they had Jimmy Connors to go against, and Vitas Gerulaitis, and Guillermo Vias, and people like that. There was tremendous competition, and when Sampras was at his, was going at it. You know, he had Alex Agassi and Courier and Michael Chang and a lot of Ivan Lendl and a lot of really great players like that. So my question is this: I know Nadal is a great player out there, and there's a couple others. Djokovic is a great player, but I just don't know if top to bottom there are as many great players as there were. That, you know, back in Sampras's era or in McEnroe and Borg's era. But just the same, Federer is a tremendous player, and wouldn't it just be great if there were a way to capture each of these guys at their prime and let them play each other?
Wouldn't that be something? It would be something. I know that, you know, these courts have definitely improved a lot, so it's a lot more easier, it's much more faster, so, you know, definitely there's some improvements that really help the game, but, you know, you make a great point when you talk about that. Wouldn't that be something to see that? I think we're ready for our next break here. We're going to go into our break here. We'll be back in three. We're talking to Fon Spear, our sports writer here on the Log Live. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moya, your host with the Sports Maverick Show.
Actions speak a lot of their words, and you know, talk is cheap.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PRO-READYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds part.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer. I have Fawn Beard, our sports writer, live here with us tonight, talking about sports and what's going on this summer. And as you very well know, July 27th is the opening of the Olympics. And you want to be glued to your TVs to see what's going to happen there, because women are dominating men in the Olympics in the United States. So we've got an unbelievable representation of women there. But also we're going to see women boxers for the first time in the Olympics. And we've got 33 of our own Florida Gators that are going to be there in the Olympics as well. Now, I just got another email here, and Flan, I'm going to bring you back on. They're saying that that the 2012 Team USA basketball just squeaked past Brazil. Who are you picking? You think that the 2012 Team USA is going to make it through? Are they better than the Dream Team was?
Well, I don't think they're better than the Dream Team was. I don't know if we'll ever see 12 guys as talented as those 12 guys that they put out there. I mean, oh my gosh. On one team, I still think back to that. You know, David Robinson and Barkley and Bird and Magic and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and on and on and on like that. I mean, whoa. Now, these guys are really good. I'm not taking anything away from them, and I think they will win. My only real concern with them is going to be, can they shut down the outside shooting of some of these other teams? Because these European teams come in, and they are prepared to bomb away and beat you at the three-point line. And I look at this team, and that's going to be, they're going to have to be able to defend the three-point line. I think rebounding-wise, I think they can play with anybody. I think they can play the power game on the inside. I really like the idea of Blake Griffin and LeBron James playing on the same team together. And then you throw a guy like Kobe in there who can stretch that defense and beat somebody on the dribble and still get hot from the outside. I think they got a great combination. I don't think there's anybody that's going to beat them as long as they play defense, and that's going to be the critical area.
That's it. And here's another question here. Michael Johnson says that the Blade Runner from South Africa has an advantage because he has an artificial leg, and his name is Oscar Pistorius. He just won second place in the 400 meter. What do you think about that? I mean, it's almost like you've got the Paralympics there, but now you've got someone actually running in the Olympics against Michael Johnson. And he's got a artificial leg. What do you think about that? I wonder how he passed that to the Olympics.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question and that you brought up there. And I looked at that and I'm thinking to myself, holy cow! You've got to draw a line somewhere, and that was a real question for me, and I have to ask myself, why would, you know, on one hand, I understand that you try to make it fair and you try to include everybody. But, you know, the human body versus, you know, basically a piece of metal, or, you know, what's to say that extra piece of metal gives him, you know, for example, in a stride, gives him an extra foot in a stride or an extra 6 inches. 6 inches may not sound like a lot, but you're running 400 meters, and these guys probably are going to take 85 strides to make it all the way around the track. You know, and 6 inches times 85. Now, all of a sudden, maybe, that's an awful lot over a short period of time like that. And That's a tough question. That's one of these things that I'm really glad that I'm not the one that has to make that decision. But I do.
Yeah, how about that? How about our darling in gymnastics, Gabrielle? Gabrielle Douglas. I know I was reading her mother's testimony that when her daughter came to her at 14 and asked her to go to Idaho to be trained for her present coach, the mother said she was pulling her hair out, she had sleepless nights, but the family ganged up on her and said she'll never get another opportunity, you gotta let her go. And she said, Mom, I won't disappoint you. And here she is, favorite to win gold for United States. Unbelievable story.
Well, there's a soft spot in my heart for gymnastics, and I love going to, for example, when the Gators have gymnastics meet. I have loved writing about the Gators all these years, and what Rhonda Fain has done at the University of Florida is just phenomenal. She's really put together a great program there. And I love the Olympics every 4 years because you take it a level beyond what we see at the collegiate level. And the collegiate level gymnastics are outstanding. But, you know, there is that difference. And again, it's just like we were just talking about a guy with that artificial limb. Does that give him 6 inches per stride extra, whatever like that? You get at this elite level of gymnastics, and the difference might be, you know, being able to hold that grip on the uneven bars. It might be holding that grip an extra 1/8 of a second. It may be when you land, being able to have that extra, you know, 10 pounds from all the squats you did, you know, of strength there in your legs and in your thighs, to be able when your feet hit that ground to be able to hold without hopping, so that you have a clean stop. Things like this. The difference in these athletes is so infinitesimally small, but it makes up to it. The difference between the elite level of college and the elite level of the gymnastics world at the Olympic level is, you know, maybe just, like I said, 1/8 of a second difference in holding onto the bars or, you know, just that extra 5 pounds of a squat that you do in the weight room.
Wow, unbelievable. Big story, Michael Phelps is just not going to be as dominant. That's the projection. So his work ethics is completely off. And, in fact, the Aussie coach coming into Olympics have said that he feels that his guys can beat him. What do you think about that? Who says that? You know, that's a challenge to Michael. I know Michael likes challenges, right?
Well, you know, I always hear this stuff. I mean, last Olympics, they said, oh, he can't do it again, can he? And he did. And you know, there are certain people that I just think you don't bet against. It's kind of like, you know, remember Michael Jordan? I mean, you know, Michael Jordan, people were talking at the final part of his career. Well, he's kind of slipped a little bit. Yeah, but he's still Michael Jordan, you know. Magic Johnson, the end of his career. Yeah, but he's still Magic Johnson. Larry Bird, same thing. You know, there are certain people that, because they've done it so much, you just don't bet against them. I mean, I agree that with everything I've heard, that maybe his work ethic isn't the same and everything like this, but there's something about these guys who are championship athletes that you put them on the biggest stage of all, and they come up with a way to make it all work. And they come up with a way, that competitive excellence, that you know, we heard Urban Meyer talk about that when he was the football coach at the University of Florida. That was one of his favorite lines, was competitive excellence. And competitive excellence is that ability to dig down deep when nobody else, to get what nobody else has, and that extra burst of speed, like what we see with Percy Harvin. You know, all of a sudden he's running neck and neck with a guy, and all of a sudden, boom, there's just that one little split second when he separates. And all of a sudden he's gone. And we see that. And this is the thing you look at with a guy like Michael Phelps. Yeah, he's older. Yeah, he maybe he doesn't train as hard as he did when he was young, but that light of competitive excellence still burns in him, and you have to believe until somebody beats him that he's going to be able to do something with it.
There you go. Well, you know, one of the biggest stories that's in sports right now, of course, is Tiger's new win that he's having, and that he apparently seems to be putting it together. He's doing very well right now at the British Open, so people are feeling that, you know, Tiger may be on his way back, so talk about giving some respect to Tiger in that respect. But also, we cannot leave sports without talking about Paternalville, Nannyville, and is it going to be a death sentence by the NCAA? Now, the NCAA says it is not off the table.
Well, I can't see how the NCAA can not deliver some sort of heavy sanction against Penn State, because no, they didn't. They may not have broken any football rules. You know, they may not have cheated when it came to recruiting or whatever like that. But it seems to me quite obvious that something was way off in that football culture. And when you have a football coach who, in effect, as we know now, ran the school, because what Joe Paterno wanted, everybody was afraid to go against him, because, oh my gosh, you know, even a guy that just sweeps the floor and takes out the trash says, you know, Joe Paterno's the most powerful man on this campus. And this is the part that scares you, is are we at a point in time when you look at the amount of money that we are paying coaches, for example. You know, Nick Saban this year is going to make $6 or $7 million. And we can argue that maybe Nick Saban earned his $6 or $7 million. He paid his dues to get where he is, and certainly deserves every single thing he can get. We can argue that, and we can probably make a pretty good argument on his behalf. But at the same time, what's the president of Nick Saban's university making? And if the football coach is making 8 or 10 times the money that the president of the university is making, something's wrong.
Well, you know, we want to look at the whole aspect of the whole arena of sports, college sports. And college sports is big business, okay? And I tell you, when you look at the broadcasting rights that you see, particularly in the NFL, which are unbelievable, and it's the largest, but if you look at those rights, and then you look at the college rights, they pale to that. But there's probably is more dollars being made in college sports than it's really being made in professional sports in terms of dollars to institutions and things like that. I mean, I think about when they were telling me about when Miami were winning all those championships, that there was something like almost close to like $20 million or more that went through that university, you know, just alone. You know, alone. So, I mean, think about the other dollars that go through for winning each of those levels. So, is college sports becoming the new nemesis here? Because, I mean, I know I'm always pushing academics first and then sports second. And I tell kids all the time, it is a joint goal. But you go to college, you go to play sports, but you also go to school too. And so you take that opportunity and you get a good education, but you also play sports and you enjoy it, because that's a great way for you to obviously build, you know, be able to do the things you love to do. But I'm a little concerned about that. And what's happening, that a school can go undetected like that because they're so big. How many things are swept under the rug? Do you think that this is going to lead to a brand new policy structure to the NCAA?
I think the NCAA has no choice but to look back at how it's conducted business over the years, and look at the future and see what we've got, and make wholesale changes
in how they do their business. Who knows how many, you know, if there was one Jerry Sandusky out there, maybe there were three others or four others or five others out there that we don't know about. I'll give you a good example. You know, you raise a good question there. When you take, for example, that when the Jim Tressel mess came to light, and they hold the press conference, and Gordon Gee, the president of The Ohio State University, says, well, I was hoping that he wasn't coming here to fire me. Now, some people say that was a great joke, but I've heard people who live up in Columbus who say, that was no joke. He really was afraid when all this came about that Tressel would in fact turn the tables on him. You wonder about things like this. And I think the NCAA has a brand new set of problems. And you and I talked about this the other day. And I am convinced that Division I has to be reshaped and has to be, you have to allow Division I to have its own set of rules to, because of the problems that are unique to Division I. I think that you've got to look at making wholesale changes like this. I like, for example, some of the things the NCAA has done, like the APR, the graduation rate. Now, it's going to keep, for example, it is going to keep the University of Connecticut out of the NCAA basketball tournament in 2013. And from what I understand, it UConn may be out in 2014 as well, you know, because this isn't going to be solved overnight. I think that's a step in the right direction. You know, we have these rules, for example, at the high school level, and you've been involved with high school sports, and you know how at most high schools they have a rule. If your average dips below a C average, you don't play. You sit. Well, they have, in the NCAA, you've got situations, for example, I go back, and Deion Sanders, his senior year, didn't even attend a class at Florida State University and played football and was eligible. They got to look into these things. They got to close up the loopholes that do this, and they've got to get a situation where athletes have to make progress toward their degrees. I think those are steps in the right direction, but I want to see something with more teeth in it, more guts to it. You know what I mean?
No, I thought the new rules that they passed about you had to be 50% ready for graduation going to your junior year was outstanding. But I think that also there is a lot of containment things here that I think there's just new stuff going to come down for compliance, because where was compliance in all of this? Where was compliance? Where is compliance? Because, you know, see, compliance can be either strong or it can be weak. And it has to be compliance. So I think we're probably going to see some new rules coming down for compliance. But, you know, my heart goes out to those families, those young men who had to go underneath all of this, but also to stay silent for so many years and bear that pain. Hopefully they're getting some kind of relief right now. And we know that Penn State has a $1 billion endowment. So you can assure that that's going to be tapped for some reason or another in terms of this. But at the same time, you know, there's more allegations coming out, and there's just going to be more things, I think. I just hope that this is setting a notice to colleges to be more vigilant in the people that they hire. And also, what about the psychological test that should have been taken? You know, if you were going to Delta Airlines or United Airlines or any of those really sensitive, you know, places where your life and death situation sometimes, take a psychological test. I'm absolutely certain that if that was subjected to Sandusky, this would have never happened.
I cannot agree with you more.
I think there's going to be some interesting rules coming down, and, you know, the birdie tells me it's going to be pretty tough. But we're getting towards the end of our show. We want to thank you, Fawn, for coming on. You did such a great job. We love having you here talking about these great sports. And I know you were talking about on the break about the great Jim Brown. So share with us as we go into our last minutes here about just how good of an athlete he really was.
Well, people who weren't around in that era don't understand. And as I've said many times, the great athletes in one era would be great in the next era because they would do whatever it took to be great in that era. Jim Brown, 6'2½", almost 6'3", 235 pounds, ran a 9.7 seconds in the 100-yard dash. Was an All-American in football. Was an All-American in basketball, averaged 15 points a game. Was an All-American in lacrosse. Golden Gloves heavyweight champion as well. You know, this is a guy that is just one of the truly magnificent athletes there has ever been. Jim Brown would have been great in this era. He'd be great in the next era, any future era, he would be great because he is that special athlete like Michael Jordan who would have done whatever he needed to do to succeed at that level, at the level he needed to get to. And this is one of the greatest athletes of all time. And I think another guy that I don't always agree with his political stances on things, but I appreciate the fact that Jim Brown has always had the courage to speak his mind about what he believes. And I admire that in him.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Absolutely. So you're hearing the last word here on Jim Brown, which was an outstanding athlete, and of course he's been very, very much involved with the Retired NFL Players Association, and you know he's done his best to stay in the game and really, really encourage people. I know several people that he's mentored, so he just keeps on going like the energetic buddy. You know, he's there. He's making sure that, in fact, that football stays alive in everybody's heart in that regard. So, but we're just so happy to have you, Franz, to share with us your knowledge of sports. And we don't want you to be a stranger. We want to be able to invite you back. And we want to just thank you for being on the Sports Family Show.
Anytime you want me on, I have so much respect for you and the job that you do, and anytime that you ever want me on, it will be my honor and my privilege.
Well, it's been fun. It's been fun, folks, and as you know, we're here on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and 7 p.m. Central Time, and we've been here now, quote unquote, over 8 years. So you can see, we were the first sports show on this network. We were the beginning with the Elf and the Maiden, okay? We were the beginning the end, yeah. So, and we're so happy to know that we've got the staying power. We're so excited to be a part of this network and to see it grow by leaps and bounds. And folks, you know, Monday through Saturdays, we've got great sports shows on. So come back to our network and listen in and, you know, stay a while. Good night. It's Ida Moyer. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyer and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.